Whoa. Whoa, son. Now, just where do you think you're going, boy?
California.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Nerds on the Rocks for the week of March the 18th, 2015. May the 18th, 2015. I saw M and I just went with it. It's been a long time since we recorded one of these, so bear with me. joining me this week, we have Sam. And we have Dan.
Hello.
Try not to get those confused, because they're going to sound exactly the same every time you mention one of our names.
Well, you folks need to have more than one syllable in your name. It says Earl. So.
Earl is short for Orlando. Is Earl short for anything?
No.
I don't know what it could be short for, but.
For Ehrlich Bachmann.
Yeah. It is short for Ehrlich. Awesome.
Okay. That fits.
But. We are not here to talk about how great I am, even though I would love to. I mean, if we want to, I have, like, I don't know if we can fit that into an hour. We might have to do shows broken up.
Yeah,
maybe over the next couple of months or so. What happened?
I said I'm going to have to go write some new material in a second.
But, so we are here to talk about gaming, in a way. I don't necessarily like to talk about gaming because you do a dedicated gaming podcast, but if we ever have any topics that are more broad and fun to talk about, that's where we go for here. And Dan suggested this. This past week, Nintendo revealed their E3 plans, and a lot of it is a repeat of what they did last year, the Nintendo Digital Event, the Best Buy thing with Mario Maker, and the Treehouse Live at E3. Yeah. The big difference is last year they held a Smash Invitational Tournament, which was a big Smash Brothers 4 tournament on the Wii U that they held at E3 and whatever. That was grand. That was a good time. But you can't necessarily do that because Smash Brothers is out now. So what
Why
the...
Would they... Oh, go on. Oh,
no, what were you going to say?
Why they held a Smash Brothers tournament exclusively for press?
It wasn't for the press. It was for fans.
Oh, they invited fans?
They invited pro gamers from the Smash circuit.
And then people in the LA area who went to E3 could go to the event. So it was a fan. Yeah. So they're expanding on that by reaching into the past and pulling out an idea that they haven't done in 25 years, which is the Nintendo World Championship. Now, I'm going to date myself because I'm very certain this is older than both of you two.
It is.
And honestly, I was way too young to even know about it. It's most famous or infamous.
Don't lie. We know you're in your 40s.
I wish. I mean, I don't wish. But I was going to say, it's probably most infamously remembered as being part of The Wizard, which was the giant Nintendo marketing movie of the 80s with Fred Savage.
Also before our time.
Yes, which is, that I remember, that is also before your time. So we don't need to date me with everything we say today, okay? But... it was a contest that had you compete, and I should clarify, because a lot of people confuse this, because we'll get to this when we actually get into the topic of the podcast. It's more of you competing for high scores and not necessarily you competing against people. So the three games you had to play were Super Mario Brothers, Rad Racer, and Tetris. And you competed against those three games, and you tried to set a high score. You know, various different attributes in each game would contribute to your overall score. And you had about 5 to 10 minutes to complete this. That was then. And they've actually brought this back, a similar concept back with NES Remix, where if you have NES Remix 1 and NES Remix 2, there's a game mode that has, I believe it's Super Mario Bros. 3, Dr. Mario... and I forget the third game. Oh, maybe it's Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, and then Dr. Mario.
So that's how they're doing it, the NES Remix game?
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. Well, are they special versions of it, or is it just literally, like, the 30-second stages?
Well,
you know what? I haven't actually played an NES Remix game, but the video I watched made it seem like there were 30-second chunks of video games.
Oh, NES Remix is, I mean, there are two types of games in them. There are the ones that are really just kind of short remixes of the stages, which are just, they're basically mini challenges. It's like, okay, a lot of them are kind of like tutorials broken out of the game, like, okay, this is how you jump, now perform 5 jumps in a row or something like that, or enter the cave in Zelda, or get past this pit in Metroid or whatever. Okay. And then they have the remixes, which is like play Donkey Kong as Link, which means you can't jump or anything, which makes it a different game. Or play Super Mario Brothers, but the stage is invisible, so you have to have memorized the stage.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that the NES the remix part was fun. The other stuff was enjoyable, but if you were familiar with those games, a lot of them are fairly easy and straightforward, like 3 stars and Rainbow, whatever. Anyhow, the concept of the NES, the Nintendo World Championship, was that you'd go through these games and you'd set a new high score. And it's an interesting concept to kind of bring back because it's really high octane. It's something that gets people into the games. And because I imagine they won't reveal the 3 games ahead of time, people won't necessarily know what to prepare for. That said, part of what we're doing today is going to look at and suggest games that we'd like to see for the Nintendo World Championship 2015. I'm going to assume that Sam probably isn't prepared because he does not play a ton of Nintendo games. I'm going to kick it off to Dan.
Yeah,
what are some of your suggestions?
15 for the last 2 weeks. Go on.
For the purpose of this podcast, we're going to discuss NES Nintendo games that we'd like to see in the Nintendo World Championship. And I assume Sam isn't prepared, so we're going to have Dan kick us off. So what games would you recommend? Like, I mean, it doesn't even have to be limited to 3. I mean, I assume I only go with 3 because that's what they had before, but you can do as many as you want. Best of 7? Who knows?
Yeah. Did they confirm they're doing best of 3 this year?
They haven't given any details other than the fact that in order to qualify for the Nintendo World Championship at E3, you have to win a qualifying round at Best Buy starting at the end of May.
Ah. Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it could also be that they have 3 games at this qualifying event and then 3 different games at E3.
That could happen. Or they could do different games the whole way around, like pack style, where they'd switch it up every round.
Yeah.
That would make the most sense, but I don't know if that will do that. Let's see. So 3 games that are good. The problem is, I think, is that not very many recent, like current games, I guess, do the high score thing or do it as much / as well.
It's
going to be a promotional tool, though, right? Like,
well,
it has to be somewhat of a promotional thing.
That's what I was wondering, though. Are they going to have like a specialized version of these games where they might, because especially with modern game design, and Nintendo's guilty of this too, a lot of games, like, there's a lot of fluff in between, like, stages and stuff, which would just add up to the time. Where arcade games are pretty much go, 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 go.
Is it a speedrun contest?
Well, the original concept was, again, just trying to get different high scores. I've never actually seen a Nintendo World Championship. I'm more familiar with the concept from The Wizard, the movie. And in that one, it was basically a speed run where you got points based on stuff you picked up. He wins by grabbing the golden whistle in World 1-3 of Super Mario Brothers, and that gives him a bonus boost that gets him further in it. But it's a competition that is a high score. It's also how far you can get in a set time and stuff like that. And then there's various multipliers. So yeah, like, I wouldn't imagine something like a Zelda game being part of this.
Right.
Right.
They might even do, like, a special build of certain games. I would doubt it, given, like, how intensive that would be to recent games. Like, it's much easier to do that for arcade-style games. But maybe?
Well,
Nintendo doesn't put out arcade-style games anymore, does it?
Well, they do, but I was like, a lot of their arcade style games are smaller titles, and I don't necessarily know if people would want to see like you play Pushmo or like Box Boy.
Do you
Boy
think there's a chance that they do it with unreleased titles? Like, you think that new Punch Out game is just because there's new Punch Out game in development, right?
Well, they haven't announced that. I mean, the video kind of hits at it, but that was actually going to be one of my questions. I do think, and again, going back to The Wizard, is that if the entire purpose is to kind of kick off E3, because this takes place the Sunday before the press conferences, is to be like, to build anticipation and build hype, you make the final game a brand new title that nobody's ever played. So everybody's kind of starting on equal footing of never being exposed to that. And it could be something like Punch-Out. It could be F-Zero. It can be Star Fox. They
yeah,
have a,
that would be cool.
They have a lot of
yeah.
games that they can make, and for the first time ever.
It's definitely going to be one of those.
Yeah, it has the probability, and again, it gets people talking about your press conference 2 days before it happens.
Yeah. So I think then the way that Nintendo goes with this is whatever titles they choose is what's coming out in the next year, right? So like if they pick a Mario game, I'm going to guess that like I don't know. To me, it makes sense to pick like maybe you do pick Mario 3 since that's what the old is that the old Nintendo World Championships Mario 3.
Right? No, the old one's just Super Mario Brothers, the first one.
Then it's probably that game. I imagine they start off with the same because you can't do new Super Mario Brothers for that, right? That's too.
Well, you could. Those are very score-based still. They still have a score indicator.
Yeah, but that's actually a good point. You know, we mentioned that it would be hard to make custom builds of these games, except Nintendo does have a level creator coming out this year.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, what if they do a Mario Maker stage that's like, Reggie, build this stage or something like that. Or, like, build a stage for your competitor.
Okay.
How cool would that be, though?
I figure they're going to use it as a tool to show up what Mario Maker can do.
Yeah, that
they built these stages in Mario Maker. Here's what you're playing.
Yeah, I think that would be a great way to kind of start it off. It exposes like Mario Maker what you can do. We know they can make great Mario games. They've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of a great way to show the tools of saying like, okay, here's like one piece of Mario Brothers, but we're doing a bunch of new gimmicks and stuff that throws people off. That would be one way to go about it. And it's a great promotional tool, as Sam said, for a title that's coming out this year for them. And it harkens back to the original. So you get that nostalgic feel, but you also get that free marketing.
I almost don't count that as you said it would be the last game. I don't think that's going to be the last one.
I don't think that would be the last game. I think that should be the first game. I think it harkens back. Like, this is how we started it off originally with Super Mario Brothers. We're bringing it back 25 years later, we're starting off with this. But now you can make your own Mario stages.
That makes
and
a lot of sense.
Yeah.
From what I've realized, is making a lot of sense isn't always what Nintendo does, but we'll see.
It isn't, but I feel like this just seems too on the nose for them not to do it because I can understand if there wasn't but Mario Maker is out this year. Mario Maker is a big part of their E3 because that's the game they're showcasing at Best Buy.
Be dumb for them to not put that in here.
I mean, of the games that I would not showcase Mario Maker at a Best Buy because I can't imagine people think it's fun to watch somebody else create a stage. And I can't imagine that. I have Mario games, but it's not going to be that great to play. Like, custom-made stages at a Best Buy. I know how Mario games play. I've played my fair share of them. So, okay. So, Super Mario Maker, first game up on the board for us.
Yep, I think so.
Second game, I think, if they want to continue their tradition, would be Eraser. And I think for most people, you'd go with Mario Kart?
Yeah.
But
F-Zero.
But yeah, I feel like the problem with Mario Kart is I feel like Mario, like, and this is going to be weird because it has time trials, but I just feel like Mario Kart isn't necessarily conducive to that type of high score mentality.
You know what they might do?
Maybe
they might do the 200cc mode because everybody's so crazy about it and it's so wild and unwieldy, basically.
I think they do that because it's also promotion for them, basically. They just released it a month ago, right?
Yeah, month of the convention, basically. It's like, we're doing this now. This is what's going on in Mario Kart if you don't have it.
Do they have any more DLC planned for that game?
I don't know. I mean, that would be a great place to announce it.
Yeah.
True. They didn't have any scheduled when they talked about DLC last, so no, but maybe. I mean, this is so well-received, so I can't imagine they're just going to be like, nah, this isn't making us money.
Right? Yeah. Well, again, I can imagine that Nintendo does something dumb, but hopefully.
Yeah, who does?
But at the same time, and this is something that, we can bring up here, is that they can also go back. I mean, there's no reason that this necessarily all needs to be new or upcoming Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Right.
You can kind of go back and do we're going to do F-Zero GX here.
But now that we've mentioned it's a promotion thing, I think it will all be new games. I didn't realize they had this many new games in that vein coming out, but I think you could do a Mario, Mario Maker, Mario Kart, and then Punch-Out. That's going to be my vote for what the three games are, because there's a new Punch-Out. Right, there is? I didn't make that up?
I mean, as far as we know, you are making it up, but you never know. Oh, you can is that...
Well.
I guess Punch-Out depends. I think there needs to be some air of familiarity with some of these games, and I think Punch-Out works because it is a game about memorization. But at the same time, I feel like if we went with the original format, a platformer eraser and a puzzler, I think Mario Maker makes sense for the platformer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mario Kart makes sense for the eraser, and I think
platformer eraser puzzler thing. So.
Well, no, I mean, I've said if you go with the original format, I don't necessarily think they should, because they don't necessarily make games that way anymore. Like, their big puzzle would be, like, Mario
and Toad!
I was going to say Puzzles and Dragon Mario Edition.
But that's not...
Captain Toad!
See, even Captain Toad's different than...
Can you imagine being playing competitive Captain Toad, though?
I actually was thinking how cool Captain Toad would be as like a modern, not to promote like a new game, just as like a thing that they could do. They could do a Captain Toad, I think. Like fastest, they like time person people, and like fastest person to get like all of the stars plus this or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be the most fun though. I don't know.
That yawn,
it would definitely be the most like
it
tense. It would be the most for like speed runners and stuff.
Well, Well, yeah, I was going to say, kind of switching gears to that, some of the other ideas I had, one of the big ones, and again, it depends on what the intent is, if it's just marketing future games, or if it's going back into their history, because, I mean, you have something like Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which has, like, those time challenges, and that looks really good when played well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane how fast those people can move when they want to. And again, this game already has time challenges, so you can kind of just take those out and create, you know, like you only need to string together four or five stages or something like that.
Yeah.
Kirby and the Rainbow Curse is another one that has time challenges. The only problem is, and again, it depends on what they want to do, is that's like stars controlled. And I feel like that's, you know, that's not necessarily something people want to switch in between a contest with. It's like, okay, I'm using control. Okay, I have to put up my stats. I have to kind of draw on this. I can't watch the TV. And it's not necessarily the most exciting thing to watch.
Yeah. I don't know what they do. I mean, I guess...
Well, that's why we're here to discuss this.
Okay, that's a good point. That is.
Well, I mean, we won't know until, I assume, before May 30th. And even then...
When is E3? I actually haven't looked at the dates yet.
This event itself, the finals is June 14th.
Yeah.
Okay. So E3 is the 15th, or?
Well, yeah, the press conferences are 15th and 16th, which is basically E3 for us.
Yeah. Not going this year. So.
Yeah.
What if they do, like, some of the more modern series that weren't around for back then? Like, Mario Party wasn't around back then, but that might be a pretty good way to do, like, mini-games for it. But that's in direct competition with you.
Imagine
it's a little different.
If they just did actual Mario Party, like, all the DS stars still on it all, and the tournament was decided by that rant star. Oh, man.
Well, I have to say, Mario Party is also not... Well, Mario Party isn't that exciting to watch because it's going to be like an hour of people, like,
But it'll be, like, different. Like, maybe they'll switch it up and won't do something like the old school style, and they'll modernize it more and make it about, like, direct competition, like, with Mario Party or Splatoon would be a perfect game because it's going to just come out then.
I was going to ask about that because I made this point with the original. Like, in the original Nintendo world, championships weren't a direct competition, but a lot of Nintendo games have become that.
Yeah.
You have Splatoon, which is coming out, like you said, literally the day before the qualifying round. That would be a great marketing tool. You have Mario Kart, which is a competitive four-player racer.
It's a team game, right?
Yeah.
Or is there a free-for-all mode?
Is there a what?
A free-for-all mode in Splatoon?
There's at least a single player mode.
There's a single player mode, there's a 1v1 local play,
is
and then there's 4v1.
That's actually the first I've heard of that.
It seems to be like a 5 or 6 hour campaign.
Oh.
And then it's a 1v1 Noco mode and a 4v4 online mode.
Okay, so they do the 1v1 mode, presumably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mario Kart's a good one. I wouldn't say this just because it's kind of redundant after last year. Smash Brothers is always there. It's a huge one for them.
I was thinking the same exact thing. Like, that would be perfect for, like, the final round. It would be really tense, but some people don't like that, and also some people, you know, like, wouldn't appreciate it being done 2 years in a row. So I totally see them foregoing that.
Yeah, and I also feel like like if it's the final game, it doesn't work because like you don't pay Smash Bros. To get there, and to a lot of people, it's gonna be like it's probably gonna end up being people who aren't necessarily great at Smash Bros. But are great at other Nintendo games.
Yeah, exactly.
How are they
like,
doing
there's
the
a lot of people
process,
who are.
By the way.
Huh?
How are they doing the selection process?
Well, like I said, you can go to Best Buy on May 30th and select Best Buys, and I guess if you win that, if you win the regional, then you go to E3. And then they're also handpicking people to be there as well.
Oh, man, I kind of want to go to Best Buy just to see who shows up now. Like, I know I'm not going to do that well in Nintendo games, but I want to see who from my area goes to to play.
I would honestly go. I mean, for me, I imagine it's probably going to be held at the Nintendo World Store, so I already know the type of clientele who hangs out there, myself included.
I say you.
And Dan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does Dan live up there now? No.
I met Dan there a couple of months ago.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Dude, that's like a crossover. That's like that Game of Thrones moment. Great, now that the dog's barking, I can just talk. That's like one of those Game of Thrones moments, whenever, like, two characters meet each other. That's awesome. I didn't realize you'd met Dan. We should have made a bigger deal of this.
It was probably during one of our intermissions.
I think it was, yeah. It was around, like, March or so.
Yeah. And,
okay,
yeah.
Y'all are still invited to my wedding.
What if they do third-party games that are on Nintendo consoles? I know this is deviating from a topic we just proposed of, like, what are the direct competition games, but something like Monster Hunter I don't think would be great, but it's definitely popular enough, and they could promote it. I don't know if they will, though. Probably not.
Well, I was going to say, part of the problem with that is, like, Monster Hunter is right now a 3DS franchise, and I don't necessarily know if they're going to... Like, again, like, the problem is that Nintendo has grown so much in 25 years that they have a crap ton of games they can pull out because they've become masters of, like, local multiplayer games.
Yeah.
And their games, while not completely arcadey, tend to be more arcadey than sim compared to the rest of the industry.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could do Mario Party. They could do Wii Sports. They could do Wii Play. They could do Wii Fit. That would be really funny.
Oh, that would be the best. They pull up Wii Fit and they just make everybody run. It's actually a race. They just go to a track and then the last run of the track is whoever runs a quarter mile the fastest.
I almost, like, want them to do that, but I know they won't because they're not, like, PAX-style weird where PAX will, like, throw you for a total loop and the last competition round they'll do something like last year at PAX East when they did Cornhole for the final competition. Like, what the heck is this? Not a video game at all. It's not even a board game. Or, like, when they threw out, like, the super obscure Pac-Man game for this year. It's like, I want to say they'll do something weird like that, but they probably won't, right?
I think ultimately they want it to be one. I imagine they have a time frame on renting this building. We're packed. I imagine it's like, we have this entire thing for the weekend. The other thing is it's still supposed to be a marketing tool, and you do want to give not only the people in attendance but the people watching
a
sense of satisfaction. And I think that has to be games that can actually watch and enjoy. Like Cornhole's fun, but I don't necessarily think that's great to watch.
It was pretty intense to watch. I'm just saying there are different vibes of the people running the competitions. And I want Nintendo to be that kind of weird quirkiness where they're like, yeah, we're doing something super weird like Wii Fit, but I don't think they will.
We're making them play football.
I think Wii Fit would be really funny just to make, okay, and now for something different, we're going to have you folks exercise.
Like, yeah, like I might...
Weights up on the screen. I might
imagine this from Nintendo, like, next year, because they're getting slowly more and more, like, weird and down with, like, their audience and, like, not taking themselves too seriously. But current Nintendo, maybe not.
If only.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it could also be, like, if they wanted to, they could have, like, a, okay, the first round's going to be like an NES game, second round Super Nintendo game, third round N64 game. Like, I mean, I don't want this to be like the Mario franchise, but that is probably the one that has kind of permeated every console they had.
Yeah.
And you could have, like, okay, the evolution of the franchise. It could be like, if you know, like Metroid, like how far can you get in 5 minutes and then reveal a new Metroid at the end? There's a lot of interesting, little caveats they can do. There's a ton of games they can pick from.
So we can revisit this podcast in a month and see how wrong we all are?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's always, right. I mean, I assume we'll revisit it as part of our E3 wrap-up show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, another thing to consider, though, is they're not going to blow their entire load on marketing stuff for new games. Like, they're not going to be like, it's 2 days before the convention. If they do that with all of their games and they're like, oh, we're playing a Metroid game, like, what if we announce a Metroid? You know, like, then everyone knows what's going to happen 2 days later.
I think they'll have one big reveal. I mean, fingers crossed, I hope they have one big reveal. Because, again, that's the type of moment that, I mean, the Nintendo World Championships is a great idea to bring back, but more than anything, it's them trying to continue with the disaster really well, which was they controlled the narrative at E3.
Yeah.
Nintendo was the most talked about company at the show last year. And,
partially the fault of everybody else kind of shitting the bed, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. But
it was part of Nintendo just dominating the space and being like, look at what we're doing, everybody. Something totally different from everyone else, which is, again, what this is.
Yeah, it was the Smash Brothers tournament. It was them literally playing their video games for 20 hours.
Yeah.
Last year at E3 or whatever. And it was something you turned on Twitch, you turned on YouTube. It was Nintendo.
See, I didn't get that. Last year's the year I went, so I didn't realize that Nintendo was that big of a deal for everybody else watching it.
Yeah, I mean, for people at home, because like I said, E3 for people at home ends on Tuesday.
Right,
like, we'll
yeah.
get random like interviews and some gameplay footage, but like once the press conference is done, we're pretty much out in the cold. But Nintendo was like, no, we're going to bring you in. We're going to have all these on-stage demos of all of our games. And not like really quick, like, okay, here's like a 5 minute and then here's a video. It's like, no, we're going to sit here for an hour and we're going to go through these games in exhausting details more than once.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Splatoon. I'm looking forward to you, but we damn sure didn't need to take 8 hours of Splatoon. But yeah, and I'm surprised that more people aren't copying that. Like, Microsoft has announced something similar, but it's only like 1 hour a day with Major Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's one guy. He can only do so much.
But yeah, but I'm surprised that like, cause it's cheap advertisement. Like, literally, all you need is a streaming device because you're gonna demo these things to the press anyhow. So those people are there working for you.
Oh, but totally. I was more facetious than serious. Like, it's only one guy; they can't hire anyone else. It's not like they're Microsoft, you know.
It's not like they're Microsoft. But yeah, I think if you end it with like, okay, and for our final game, we're going to. That's Microsoft's favorite E3. Actually, I guess Microsoft's big E3 secret is Gears of War Remastered, which everybody knows about now.
Yeah,
I think it'd be funny if Nintendo pulled that Battletoads moment, though. Or no, what was it? Was it Vid Ribbon? So that was last year's Sony, right? The Vid Ribbon
thing?
Yeah. Actually, Nintendo's like pulls out Metroid and then says, what if we made a new Metroid game? And then doesn't.
Well, I was about to say, unlike Sony and Microsoft, I honestly would imagine 9 out of 10 franchises in Nintendo would randomly name drop. People would get excited for anyhow.
Yeah.
Like, people got excited for Vid Ribbon, and people get excited for Battletoads. But if Nintendo obscurely dropped like F-Zero, or if they dropped Metroid, which has been on hiatus for like 5 years now, or if they mentioned Sin and Punishment,
how long ago was Other M? I guess it was a Wii game.
Five years ago.
Yeah.
If they, you know, if any Excite Bike, okay, I wouldn't get excited for Excite Bike.
Might
be the one.
Animal Crossing.
Well, Animal Crossing's too new, but yeah.
A competitive Animal Crossing would be pretty great to watch, though.
Here's Balloon Fighters 2015.
Go to the island, get as many bugs as you can. Who can sell them for more?
Oh, that game. So ruined by that glitch.
So I figured this topic itself wouldn't last us an hour. So we did have a second part to this podcast.
Oh.
And it's along the same vein. But, like, what I mean, like, if you had to kind of create a modern arcade or, you know, wanted to create a... you two are probably too old to get this. I don't know if you've seen the show, but I know it's before. You ever seen Nick Arcade?
Yeah. And not much, but I
remember. Describe it.
It was basically like the Nintendo World Championships. It was a show that aired on Nickelodeon in the early 90s, and you would play through various video game and competitions. And some of them were actual games. Like, they would set up a challenge, like, you have to clear the stage in like 45 seconds, and if you didn't, you'd fail. And some of them were custom, like, they were actual, like, games they created for the game, and you, like, got into it, and you had to play it, and stuff like that.
So Nickelodeon was doing Let's Plays in the early 90s?
They wasn't Let's Play, it was usually, like, people, like, sometimes they were in the game.
like that. Bubble.
I mean,
was a commercial.
And this is kind of semi-related, is that there's also the host of the show just started a Kickstarter for a Nick Arcade reboot. But you can't call it, well, one, you can't call it Nick Arcade because it's not a Nickelodeon. And two, because of the nature of TV shows and Kickstarter, it's a
Is he trying to get a TV show going?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be like a YouTube show. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
That's dumb.
Well, it would also explain why this is feeling so horribly right now. It's at $2,687 out of a $350,000 goal.
Wow.
And it has 20 days to go. But that wasn't the part that was iffy about it for me.
So I can't even get to the Kickstarter page. Whenever I Google Nick Arcade Reboot, it just gives me a bunch of, like, Destructoid articles.
Oh, Jessica, I did Nick Arcade Kickstarter, and it's something called, like, Enter Level.
Okay.
Or something like that. But what I was going to say about this real quick is that the Kickstarter goal isn't to make a TV show. The Kickstarter goal is to make a pilot of a TV show to show networks. So you're basically funding them doing a pitch.
Oh, that's stupid. Oh, that's incredibly stupid.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I mean, you can imagine why it's not doing. And as much as I was a fan of Nick Arcade, like you said, we kind of get our fill. Let's Plays are there. It's not that
there
difficult.
There are people that do the same thing in, like, not this, they're not Let's Plays per se, but they're, you know, Twitch exists.
Yeah. It's
Speedruns exist. People do all this stuff already.
Yeah. So it's a weird like, I wouldn't mind them bringing it back, but I'm not going to pay for it. I don't know many people who would. But that said, if you were to make a show like this or to create your own little arcade, what type of games would you put in there? Current modern games. Because I do think it's a type of game design that we've kind of shied away from.
Yeah,
it definitely is.
And part of it is you.
People are still trying to do it. Have you ever been to, like, a Chuck E. Cheese lately? It's all like Fruit Ninja.
But,
I mean, I'm going to Pitch Perfect in like 30 minutes, so.
To Sam's point, I don't know why he's going to see Pitch Perfect 2 on opening night.
I'm going to see it on opening day, too.
Yep.
Are you
also
going to see it tonight?
I bought tickets like 2 weeks ago.
Not tonight, but I will go see it tomorrow.
I'll get
on
my back.
Well, I see Mad Max already because I'm awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, you always do that.
Anyway.
You're always like, who wants to come with me? And I'm like, I totally would if I lived in New York.
It's really sad that I can't. I literally had to give it. I didn't give it away, but I had to beg people to go to Mad Max with me. I'm like, this is just awful. It's a free movie.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I need to make some better friends.
I mean, part of it is a lot of people do, and I understand I don't do this anymore because I get into so many of them free, but a lot of people do make plans to kind of see to make this day and that day and this day and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, like, it's the middle of the week and people have stuff to do what they don't want to do.
If you're an adult, it's midnight on a Wednesday.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is like 7 p.m. It's just like,
okay.
Yeah, for some people it's like some people it's like I get out of work at 7, I won't make it.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to, you know, like, I'm busy. A lot of my friends are parents now. Anyhow, neither here nor there. But yeah, getting back to Sam's original point, aside from seeing him Pitch Perfect 2 in half an hour, I think a lot of mobile games have been making the track to arcade, because that is kind of the mentality that mobile games are created around, is yep. that they're fun enough to make progress, but frustrating enough that you want to pay,
yeah.
which is what arcade games did back in the 90s.
I think more to the point, each round lasts like 3 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I think that's really, I mean, it is a combination of all those things, but I think the fact that gameplay for Fruit Ninja and Flappy Bird and stuff takes, well, I bet there's not a Flappy Bird arcade game, but Crossy Road, there might be an arcade game of that.
Yeah, and Angry Birds, I've seen. Fruit Ninja's very popular. I assume it's very similar to the Kinect version, where you're just kind of throwing around your arms.
Actually, I think you're on a touchscreen. I think it's a touchscreen version of Fruit Ninja, which is even worse.
That's not as fun. I've seen
arcade games that are phone games are stupid because for the price of the arcade game, you could buy it on your phone.
Yeah, but I think, you know, there's something about arcade, just having people around you. I don't necessarily think that mobile games have that same mentality of watching your friends play Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or, like, Bubble Bop or whatever.
Yep. Bubble Bobble, that's it.
There we
go.
Yeah,
the kids are playing nowadays.
I had a lot of friends who were into Bubble Bobble, thank you very much.
I want to go to a real arcade at some point. Like, every arcade games now is full of games that came out in the late 2000s, or like early 2000s, late 90s and stuff. It's all Time Crisis and Area 51 and Metal Slug 8 or 9, whatever.
Yeah,
but I want to play stuff that came out in the 70s, you know?
There is a movement for a lot of what they call barcades. Which I kind of, you know, the name's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I was about to say, I'm going to have to break that down, but I'm like, that's not a very subtle name. there's three in New York. I've been to one in New York, I've been to one in Chicago, and I've been to one somewhere else. And they have...
We're probably going to end up going for my bachelor party weekend.
Honestly, I would be completely okay with that for my bachelor party weekend.
Right. Well,
give
I mean,
me
it's
games
6 feet.
Games and booze, I'm in heaven.
6 feet often, like you hit every bar. Well, you know, anyway, go on.
Yeah,
I don't,
but,
six
yeah,
feet.
They have stuff like Turtles in Times and X-Men Arcade. They have that Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter 2, Galaga, Pac-Man. One of the ones I went to had the original, like, I think a lot of people forget that Super Mario Brothers has an arcade game version as well.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that. So,
yeah.
I learned something new today. You say a lot of people forget. I don't know if I was ever old enough to remember that.
There's an arcade version of that. Mario was originally an arcade game, even though I'm really not a fan of Mario Brothers.
Oh, it sucks. Game's dumb.
A lot of those original Nintendo games just, it gets one of the controls are just awful. I hate Ice Climbers for the same reason.
Ooh, yeah.
Huh?
Who likes Ice Climbers, really? Like, even the Super Smash Brothers, who likes Ice Climbers?
Well, I think people enjoy it. They were pretty good in Melee competitive scene. But, to your point, a lot of modern games aren't really designed for those quick sessions, which is really strange, because you would think video games would be the ultimate ADHD genre. But I could see something like, I think, and this is something that I don't think many people remember, because the Wii was whatever for a lot of people. But there were a lot of first-person shooters on the Wii that had a on-rails mode that just took like a single-player campaign from a first-person shooter and just included this bonus mode. Like, I remember Medal of Honor Heroes 2. You had a campaign, and then you can also go through the campaign on rails. So I think it would be kind of cool if they retrofitted like a Call of Duty game. Because, I mean, those things are pretty much on rails as it is.
Yeah.
So
it looks like that Dead Space game. That was fun.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember the name of it, but I enjoyed it.
Extraction.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, taking something like that would be kind of neat. I think if you have something like, I think Titanfall would be a pretty fun arcade game, just because it's so fast and chaotic.
Really, any round-based first-person shooter could work.
Well, I think somewhat. Like, I don't necessarily think Halo would work the same way, just because it's fast-paced. But I don't think it's more cerebral. It's kind of gotten more and more fast-paced as they tried to keep to step with Call of Duty. But you don't die as fast, and games can go on forever.
That's true. And you give little kids a break, the controllers in like 8 seconds.
Yeah, Gears of War is another one I don't think would kind of go. And I think the other thing would also be buttons. Can you imagine just trying to replicate, like, what is it, 16 buttons on those controllers?
Yeah, nope, not work.
Yeah. I mean, you have stuff like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat and Tekken, I think, are cheating since they still, especially in Japan, those things are still tested in the arcade before they come home.
I heard about that the other day. Like, Tekken arcade machines are still a big deal.
Yeah. Japan, they still have their arcade scene. I mean, we still...
What do they play in Japanese arcades? What games are there?
There's a lot of fighting, and there's a lot of sketchy stuff that I probably don't want to speak on because I'm not an expert. But, you know, I've seen... They have some interesting titles. They have very Japanese titles that probably would not fly in America.
You know, like Cabela's Big Game Hunting.
Oh, but you're not hunting there.
Nah, it's for you to find out what you're hunting.
But yes, I mean, a lot of handheld games would also work. I think a lot of like the eShop and indie titles would work well.
Whack-a-mole that's just penises.
That's it. You found it.
Case closed.
You did it. Sam did it, everybody.
Rue 34 does not exist in Japan because it's the only thing that Japan has. I'm going
just
to
called Rue 1 there.
It's called Rue 1. And you never break Rue 1.
Yeah, we should wrap this up. This is a... trailing off. You don't have to wrap it up, but I have to go. So,
just leave. Go see your Anna Kendricks and your acapellas, and don't tell me how it is. I'll see it tomorrow.
I don't see what people have against Pitch Perfect. It's all right.
I love it. It's like one of my favorite movies.
I remember. I liked the first one. I saw it on HBO. I'm in no hurry to see this one in theaters.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have as high hopes for this one, but, you know, I'm excited for it.
How is it doing in reviews?
I think it's doing pretty well. I checked, like, Wednesday, so it could have changed since then. But I checked Wednesday because I like making sure, like, I don't actually care about what the Rotten Tomatoes score is, provided it's above 17% or something like that.
17 is such an odd number.
I know, it's not an exact number, but if it's below 20 or 30, then I'll be like, okay, something's seriously wrong with this movie. But if the comedy is at 50%, there's a decent chance that I'll like it.
It's at 70, which is actually pretty decent for a comedy sequel.
I can't not click on these Victoria's Secret ads. It keeps popping up and getting in my way, but oddly, I'm kind of okay with that.
Take that, Sam. Victoria's Secret till the death.
But here's how you bring it full circle, though. I think Rock Band would be really fun in arcades.
Yep.
Isn't it already? I know Guitar Hero is in arcades.
I don't know. And I think Just Dance would also be really fun in arcades, if that doesn't exist either. But
Dance Dance Revolution.
Well, no, it's different than Dance Dance Revolution. Because, I mean, and this, for better or worse, Just Dance doesn't take as much skill. It's something that you can kind of just goof around with, where I think Dance Dance Revolution doesn't necessarily mean you're a good dancer, but you do need to have some type of coordination with your feet.
Yeah, definitely.
And... let's be honest, if you're putting these in arcades and stuff like that, there's probably alcohol involved, and at some point, it wouldn't work for a lot of people, myself included. But those would be fun. I'm trying, like, I can't imagine something like Assassin's Creed working in an arcade setting, or, you know, like, open world games in general would just be awful, I think. GTA.
Yep. Yeah, but like, could you imagine what would happen if they put a Grand Theft Auto inside like a Chuck E. Cheese?
Well, I would imagine, I would hope that Chuck E. Cheese would look at these games before they put them in there.
Yeah, actually, I went to some type of Chuck E. Cheese thing in like when I was in Utah last, and they had this section with a horror game there that had kind of, it was, I don't know if it's M-rated necessarily, but it was curtained off so that like you had to go through the curtains to be able to get to the part of the game that's the game. And I thought that was kind of funny because it seemed slightly more adult than the other games around it.
Yeah, that reminds me of movie Rent Two Places, which you focus on. When they used to have that curtained room and you always kind of knew what was back there.
I don't think I ever, like, by the time I was old enough to realize what that room was, I don't think I went to movie rental stores anymore.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, even for my generation, it was kind of petering out. I was hanging out with friends once, and I literally went to a Best Buy because I saw I've hardly ever seen a Best Buy in the wild, and I'm like, I have to go. I've not seen one of these things in like 5 years. So that's the type of stuff that catches my interest
down here.
If you ever want to hang out with me,
welcome to the adult life where you hunt down Best Buys.
Yeah, I mean, it became really redundant with Netflix, but I think that Redbox is the final nail in the coffin because it's just so much more convenient to go to a supermarket and rent a movie for a buck.
Yep.
Even though the selection is nothing special.
Or just pirate it, you know. I mean, I would never do that. That's terrible.
Don't talk about that on Skype. They can hear you.
Speaking of Skype and Microsoft, I think Rise would also be a really decent arcade title.
I don't know a thing about Rise other than it's in Rome, I think.
I was going to say that, and I think this is an arcade title that has been, I think it's become an arcade title, Infinity Blade?
Yeah, it has. I've seen that in arcades also.
Yeah, I would imagine they're pretty similar. I mean, there's
a lot that Epic makes that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That's the one made in that's the same guys that made Shadow Complex, right?
Yeah.
My fiance's uncle's best friend is the head of that studio. I thought that was interesting.
Uncle's
he totally
best.
Said I could go work for him if I wanted to. I thought that was funny.
But you don't want to?
I don't want to live in Utah, in Salt Lake City. But that studio is Mormon, so there you go.
I don't know. I think it would be, I mean, I guess you already had your adventure in moving when you moved out to L.A.
Yeah. We went through Utah to get there. It's okay. It's all right. But
you went through Utah to get to...
And that's where her family is. So, stayed with her family.
Do the old loop around.
The old reach around.
Yeah, the old reach around.
Oh, so here's a funny, completely unrelated video game story. We followed our navigation system to get to Los Angeles, and we started in Houston, and it sent us up into Oklahoma City, and then left back across the panhandle of Texas to hit Albuquerque, and then up into Utah. Which added another, like, 5 hours or 6 hours on our trip.
Well, everybody, apparently you didn't get your mini-map and set the little marker so the little dots would go on the road.
Yeah, I did something wrong, man.
we mentioned that GTA would probably be a bad example, but if you kind of extracted the mini-games from GTA or Saints Row, none of those would really work well as arcade titles. If you just kind of step... Actually, in general, I've always found it weird that a lot of people don't necessarily expand on the mini-games that they offer as not necessarily full retail titles, but we mentioned this earlier with Captain Toad, but Captain Toad was a mini-game in Super Mario 3D World.
It's true.
And it extracted that and made a full game out of it, and that turned out to be really fun. I remember, I think Saints Row the Third had like a mascot beat-em-up brawl type mode, and I think if you... took that out.
Geeky could just be an arcade game.
Yeah, if you took that out and, you know, fleshed it out a bit and charged $20, I'd buy that on Xbox Live, and I could see it being fun in an arcade setting.
Yeah. All right, I really got to go. So I'm going to take my leave here. You guys have fun. Thanks for having me on.
I have fun. I miss you. I love you. Big kisses.
Yeah, love you too, guys.
Bye.
It was a good run. Nice to be back on a podcast.
Perfect.
I will. And we'll have another podcast soon, and I can talk about it.
Rip.
Actually, I bet Earl Band's Pitch Perfect talk on the podcast. But
rip!
Ada. And then there was two.
Hello.
Hi. I mean, we can begin wrapping up again, but, I mean, I just guess to bring this full circle, since we have done a somewhat decent job on actually staying on topic, Nintendo World Championships will be interesting to watch. I'm curious to see the games they do bring out for this, and I do hope that it is a combination of, you know, I hope it is a combination of nostalgia. I hope it's a combination of this celebrity status, and I hope it is a reveal of a new game, or at least the world debut of a game. Because even though it's been announced for a year, we haven't really seen Star Fox.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, same for Zelda, really, for the most part, but that's not really one to be revealed at this sort of event.
Yeah, like Zelda wouldn't fit, especially being, again, like, I don't think it's a competitive type game, but... Yeah. Star Fox, where it's like, get through these stages and such. I mean, it's if it continues the legacy of the franchise of being this kind of on-rails type deal, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they typically do have, like, a score in the main mode, at least the older ones did, so it wouldn't be unheard of or weird to kind of, like, shoehorn that in there. It's, like, hard to think of games that straight up have score modes or score attack modes other than, like, fighting games or, like, old series like Star Fox, but I think they could definitely turn some modern series into that sort of style with either time restrictions or like collectible restrictions or like doing a kind of like a faux point system by saying like, oh, Captain Toad, you know, if you get the star, you get this many points plus this timer adds to your points plus like the little gems add to your points, something like that.
Yeah. And then I guess the final piece of news to discuss, and I don't necessarily know if they would do this, but I've mentioned The Wizard more than once. Have you seen The Wizard before?
I've seen parts of it.
Okay. Well, you're invited. I don't necessarily know if you'd want to. I think some people find it weird, which I can completely understand because it's usually me and my friends. I believe June 12th, 2015, we're going to do The Wizard as part of our 151-proof movie stuff. And I might make it a group watch just because it's always fun. We did it actually before E3 because of the Smash Bros. Invitational, which I thought they should have really promoted as kind of a Rocky-type deal. But they didn't. But yeah, I figured that this is really, again, the purpose of The Wizard is to get to California for this big Nintendo competition.
Right.
But part of that was that Fred Savage has expressed interest in showing up to this. I don't necessarily know if Nintendo would have him, but I do think, you know, like they've in the past, like last year during the Smash Brothers Invitational, they had like a celebrity round. And they had, like, a journalist round and stuff like that. So it would be cool if they brought him in there, kind of as a nod to The Wizard. And he does kind of bring a certain celebrity status to him, even though he hasn't really been in much. Even, I believe he has a new movie coming out. So, you know, if that's something that can work out, that would be cool.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe if they can get the... Actually, it's kind of sad. I think both Marios are dead, aren't they?
Well, I mean, Bob Hoskins is... Who was the other?
Captain Albano.
Oh, yeah.
He's also dead.
I guess so.
Yeah, that is really depressing to think about.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
But yeah, I think it would be interesting to get, you know, certain celebrities and stuff like that. And I probably won't do it because of money, but I think it would be great... Or maybe they can ask the people who are competing in this to do this, is to kind of have a Road to E3 type series, kind of like, you know, showing people training with these actual games. Like, don't tell them what they have to play, but have them train and play various different Nintendo games to prepare themselves, mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would be great. I mean, it's a cheap form of marketing. Like, it can literally just be a home movie that somebody puts up on YouTube.
And it's fun. I mean, hey, everybody gets a kick out of it. Obviously, people love watching Let's Plays. Why wouldn't they love something like this?
Yeah. But I think that's that for us. Any final thoughts before we wrap, mister?
I'm very excited for this. Their video was amazing, and I'm glad they're in this sort of mood where they're taking it directly to the fans and not taking their business self too seriously. So I'm excited to see this return, and I'm excited to see, like, new things that either Nintendo's bringing back or going to try out that are, like, different for, you know, consumers.
Yeah, and I do love the fact that they embrace that they are kind of the crazy uncle of the gaming industry.
Yeah.
It's always going, I mean, it, you know, it sucks because they aren't doing that well, and I know a lot of people, they need to be serious, they need to kind of do what everybody else is doing, but it's nice to have that company that's kind of singing its song at its own tune or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it gives it a personality. Like I mentioned, Microsoft announced their E3 press conference plans today, and it was just a press release. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm going to watch a Microsoft press conference. It doesn't really matter, and I'd watch Nintendo one without this. But they were like, they took a mundane announcement, they dressed it up into something fun and enjoyable,
yep.
And apparently very memeable, because that has like the what is Reggie thinking has become a thing on its own. And that's not even counting his little hands on the mat and the what. Yeah, there's a lot of moments in that.
Yep.
So, yeah, I enjoy it, and I'm actually looking forward to the digital event after Ash year, so I'm curious to see what that all brings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I'm looking forward to all of E3, but, as I said at the start of the show, that will all be covered on Dual World in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Including our predictions for Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, EA, Ubisoft, Bethesda, Square, who all have press conferences on the PC Gamer Conference. So check that out. Check out our website, nerdsontherocks.com, where you can find the latest reviews for comics, video games, movies, TV shows. And by latest, I mean like once a week when I feel like doing work. Every Friday, we have up our drinking games that we do this month, partially in honor of Pitch Perfect, actually, and because I am always a fan of bad puns, we're doing Musical Mayhem, which is a monthly bad musical. So far we've done From Justin to Kelly, and we've done Repo the Genetic Opera. I believe we're going to do two Cannibal, and maybe one of the High School Musicals throughout the month. And then, as I noted before, June 12th, we're doing The Wizard in honor of E3, and we really need to get more video game movies, because I can't do this every year. And if anybody's interested in it, June 19th, we're doing Jupiter Ascending, because that movie is awfully amazing.
Awful in the best way.
Yes. So, for Sam, who stepped out to sing with his acapellas,
goodbye.
Dan, and myself, This has been Nerds on the Rocks for the week of May, I've been told.
Yes, it is.
18th,
can confirm.
Auf Wiedersehen.